So that's an interesting title, isn't it? Jireh. And we're going to be talking about who that is and what that means in just a moment, but it's really about God's provision in our lives. So it's good to see you. And I was just having a bit of a flashback as we were singing Great Are You, Lord. Flashback to about 2018 in May, when Preston Wood was called upon to lead in worship at the National Day of Prayer in the Rose Garden, invited by President Trump and Melania to lead in worship. And there were people from all over the nation and all over the world. And our Preston Wood group sang that song before the president and the powers that be in America, and hands were lifted up in praise as we were pouring out our praise to God. And as we were singing it once again here this morning, one of my favorite, when it says, you give life, you give life, you give love. I thought back to how we prayed, and especially on that day, we prayed for life, not only spiritual life, but life in his churches and life among his people and life in the womb. And who could have imagined that just 2+ years later, Roe v. Wade would be overturned and once again life is safer in the womb, not completely safe and secure yet, and there's still battles to be fought for the sanctity of life. But it was one of the reasons that I said yes, as I would have said yes to any president, Republican or Democrat, who would have invited us for counsel and prayer. But some of us said yes to President Trump. We took some heat for it. We did. Can you imagine? But not everybody likes his tone or his personality. But President Trump promised us Supreme Court justices, and he also promised us to help on the sanctity of life issue. And the progress that was made at that time and the appointments that were made brought us to Roe v. Wade's overturn. And so back again, just praising God. Most of us could have never imagined. I couldn't have imagined Roe v. Wade actually turned over. We prayed, but don't underestimate what God can do. And God can do anything but fail. And that is true. That is true for each one of us, and that is what I want to talk to you about today, God's provision for your life, because Jesus is our Jireh, our provider. Before we get to the message, just let me say that we're having an incredible summer at Preston Wood, and both campuses, along with Espanol, of course. We're seeing great numbers of people attending. Even here this summer, it doesn't seem long ago, we were saying hello to summer. And here we are in the middle of July. We'll say goodbye to summer before long. It's hot. It's really hot. I actually grew up and remember days before air conditioning in church. So don't be complaining about it being hot. And we had those little funeral home fans, we call them, to keep cooler in church. It wasn't that cool. But before you know it, we'll be saying goodbye to summer. And do pray for our students that are up in Colorado serving and all these mission teams. And we are investing to change the world. And thank you for that. Both locations, all four locations actually are united. And, you know, just even I was thinking watching and worshiping with you today with our musicians, Rick, you know, our plan. And what we've been doing a long time in terms of worship leadership is just rotating Preston Wood worship leadership, both campuses, North Campus and also the North Campus, and even leaders, worship leaders from Espanol who are great. So you see what we're doing here, and it just brings such continuity and collaboration. We are not multiple churches. We are one church at multiple locations, and we're just so thankful for what God is doing here at our North Campus. God is providing in such an incredible way. Now, we know how many people we're seeing it, we're reading about it, how many people are moving in to this region. When we prayed years ago about beginning the North Campus, we prayed that God would provide. And hasn't God provided? And God has brought to us you and so many more who are coming. In fact, maybe I'll just do a little demographics here today. How many of you have either moved to the 380 corridor. You know what that is, Prosper region, if you will, Prosper Salina region. How many of you have either moved here and or joined Prestonwood North in the past 5 years? Could I see your hand, the past 5 years? Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Give yourself a hand. I don't know how many that is, but that's a lot of folks. So we love it when a plan comes together, as the great Hannibal said on the A-team. But thank you for being a part of Prestonwood. You and I don't get to see each other personally as much as I would like, but just know you're always on our hearts. Deb and I love you and thank God for you. And of course, we're thrilled with Connor's leadership, the leadership of our pastoral team and ministry team here at North Campus. We're all holding hands, working together, linking arms, joining shields in advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So Philippians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 11. Always bring your Bible or your screen. That will do if you can pull it up. And don't be checking social media after you're done with this. But if you're on your screen, it is Philippians chapter 4 and it's verse 11. Paul is speaking from prison. Put that in context when he's writing the believers at Philippi. And here's what he's saying. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. A famous verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Paul was preaching. Paul was advancing the gospel. And the poor Philippian believers, and they were impoverished in many ways. They took up an offering. They sent it to Paul for the advancement of the gospel. They were generous. And so Paul is thanking them. And he said, it was so kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. In other words, what Paul is saying, you didn't need to send it. You weren't required to send it, but you gave financially to the cause of Christ and the advancement of the gospel and the ministry that he has given to me. And you did it not only to help me. Paul said, I needed the help. I didn't ask for the help, but you did it anyway. Why? That the fruit that increases to your credit, the fruit meaning converts, the fruit meaning fruitfulness and the faithfulness of God's people when they are giving. He said, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And then here's the key verse that we're going to focus on. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know, of course, that we are living in uncertain times, chaotic times, times of confusion, and people are wondering, what is the future going to be like? Even looking at our country in these days, we wonder about the financial future of America, as the gas pumps is telling us something every time we go there, and the inflation and all the rest. And many people are getting very concerned about their financial future. And many people, young and old, are finding themselves wondering and even worrying about their finances or about their families in these times. There's so much instability in the economy, so much instability in the world. Then there's so much violence that we're seeing today, and vitriol, hatred that is being spewed across the nation. Some are calling this the age of rage. the age of rage. I can tell you that in my lifetime, I've rarely seen this much anger and this much hatred that we are seeing today. And along with this anger comes anxiety, as people are beyond concerned, but actually wringing their hands and wondering about the instability and uncertainty of the world, of our nation, of our own homes and families. We are facing national and global and political and cultural and financial challenges in our generation, but it's also personal, isn't it? It's not just out there somewhere, something we see on the news, but happening perhaps in our own homes and in our own families. Many people are anxious and afraid and even depressed and despairing. Coming out of the pandemic, we are still facing the aftermath of an international and global pandemic. And so when you look at your own life and your own bottom line, if you will, you need to be asking yourself, is God enough to take care of me? Does God really promise that he would meet my needs? Did God really say that he would never leave or forsake me? We just sang it a moment ago that God is good. All my life, Lord, you have been faithful. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you know that he has been faithful to you. But yet there are fears regarding the coming days. And God has given us so many promises to counteract our concerns and to overcome our fears about anything we face in our lives. Yes, God has a plan for our provision. God has a plan for our nurture and our nourishment. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 4. Do you know how many promises there are in the Bible? I've heard all kinds of estimates and guesstimates and people saying, well, I've heard 3,000, I've heard 4,000. Well, did you know there was a man back in 1956, it was reported in Time magazine, who actually counted all the promises of God? He was a Canadian school teacher. And it took him 13 months as he carefully and copiously marked every promise in the Bible. Some were multiple promises of the same thing, and yet a promise from God. And so he came up with a number, and it's a good number, and I believe we should stay with it. Do you know how many promises there are in the Bible? I'm getting ready to tell you. Are you ready? 7,487. Just round that up to 8,000. I'm a preacher, you know. Go ahead and round that up. So nearly 8,000 promises in God's Word. The Bible is a promise book filled with the promises of God from cover to cover. And the Christian can say, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can say, every promise in the book is mine. Because God has made you this promise. And the promises are called by the Apostle Peter, who knew of the promises of Jesus. He said, they are exceedingly precious promises that come from God. Exceedingly precious. Paul would say to the Corinthians, these promises of God, every one of them in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. That's why it's good when somebody speaks of the promises of God or says something good about the Word of God that every now and then you say yes or amen. Thank you very much. I'll preach better and shorter if I feel like you're getting it. And I feel like you're getting it when I hear a yes and an amen every now and then. All right, thank you very much. Now that I have your attention. So many of these promises, and they regard security and strength and stability in life. But this promise is the promise that I love to talk about and I love to experience. It is the promise of God's sufficiency. God's sufficiency. So ask yourself, do I believe that God is sufficient for my every need? You name the need. Is God sufficient for every need? And the answer is yes and amen. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Several things about this promise that I want to mention. One is that the promise is personal. The promise is personal. It says, my God, my God. This is a man who is content because he knows who God is and because this God has provided for every one of his needs. Remember, this isn't Paul in the pulpit. It's not even Jack in the pulpit. You know, this is not just me up here saying positive things. This is the word of God. And this is Paul in prison. And the prisons in that era were horrific in every way. They were hell holes. And yet in the midst of that punishment and persecution, as he was arrested and accosted and ultimately martyred for the gospel of Christ, he is saying that my God shall supply all of your needs. He's thanking these Philippians, as I noted earlier, for their gifts. He's saying, thank you for providing for my needs. But you know, God takes care of me. God takes care of us through people, for sure. But the fact is that God provides, and he always provides. My God. And who is this God? If you go back to the book of Genesis at the very beginning of the Bible in chapter 12, this is when God told Abraham to take Isaac, his only son Isaac, and sacrifice him. Who can anyone imagine that? Now, without going into all the explanations as to what that was all about, let me just say at the beginning that God did not want Abraham's son, Isaac, his only son. He wanted Abraham. He wanted the heart of Abraham. So he tested Abraham and tested his faith. God already had a plan. God already had a provision. Abraham knew, according to Hebrews 11, even if he took his son's life, that God would raise him up again. So that said, God told him to take his son, only son Isaac. Isaac was probably a teenager at this time. So you have to admire the willingness of Isaac to offer himself, as it were, with his father. And so he's on the altar. And some of you, if you know your way around the Bible, remember this story. How as Abraham is about to take the life of his son and sacrifice in obedience to God, an angel of the Lord, yes, there are angels and they're here today. There are angels in this room. The angel of the Lord stayed his hand. And at the same time as Abraham was giving his dearest and best to the Lord, willing to give his dearest and best to the Lord, there was a ram coming up the side of that mountain. The offering was on the way. And God stayed his hand and they took the lamb that was the substitute offering, the one that God had provided, the lamb. God will provide a lamb. And, you know, this is a powerful prequel to the cross, to what Christ, the Lamb of God, did when Jesus died in our place. And it was the very place, Mount Moriah, is the place called Calvary where Jesus died. It's the Temple Mount in Israel today. We go there when we go to Israel. But on that mountain, the mountain of God, God provided the lamb. God provided the sacrifice in advance of what the ultimate sacrifice would be when Jesus would die. God the Father did not stay his hand on the day that Jesus died. His own son, his darling son, Jesus, took our sins and took our death and took our hell and took our judgment. He is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so God always provides. Maybe this would be a good place just for us to pause and say yes and amen. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your salvation, fully delivered in Jesus Christ. If you can't thank God for anything, and there are many things for which we can give thanks, but the one thing always, if you know Jesus, if you have been forgiven, if your life has been transformed by the power of his grace and of his love, if you know that you're going to heaven when you die or when Christ comes again, always give thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has provided forgiveness for every one of us. Amen? God has provided salvation. God is providing and preparing a place for us in heaven. What a promise. God's provision. And so when the lamb was sacrificed, Abraham said, from now on this place will be known as Jireh, because it speaks of Jireh, Jehovah, which means God is my provider. Who is this Jireh? Paul said he's my God. My Jireh is Jesus, who has provided everything and more we need in life. And I can tell you this, if you don't hear anything in this message but this, take this home with you. Take this to heaven with you, in fact. When you come to the place in your life when you discover that Jesus is all you have, you will discover he's all you need and more. Yes, he is. Jesus is everything, and he provides all things. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. So this promise is personal. It's also positive. Positive. Will supply. Will supply. That promise is for certain. It is sure that God said, I will supply for your every need. And you say, well, how do I access it? How do I get what I need? Ask him. Prayer. What did James tell us in the book of James? You have not because you ask not. Or he went on to say, you ask amiss. You ask for your own self and your own personal pleasures or whatever. You don't ask for God's glory. You don't ask for God's provision in the right for the right things. But the point is, we have not because we ask not. What did Jesus say? Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. So there's all this supply that is available to God's children. And in Luke chapter 11, he's teaching us about prayer and asking and receiving from God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is a lot of things, but ultimately prayer is, according to Jesus, is asking and receiving. It is receiving from God all that he desires to give. Yes, prayer is worship. Yes, prayer is praise. There are many elements to prayer. But ultimately, Jesus taught us to pray for daily needs, that daily bread, that God would meet our needs. And so he said, I will supply, but you have to ask. You have to be prayerful and expectant and believing God for what God desires to give. Look, God's not holding out on you, but he's waiting on you as a gracious father to give you everything and more that you need in your life. So the promise is personal, the promise is positive, the promise is pointed, in that he will provide all of your needs. Pointed in the sense that he does not say, I will provide for all of your greeds. But he said, I will supply all of your needs. And one of the things we must always be cautious and careful about is asking for things we don't need. Sometimes we ask God for more money. We want more money. Or we don't ask for God. We just lay down the plastic and get in debt because of the desire to acquire. And that's a problem for many families today, is indebtedness. Rather than waiting on God and trusting God to provide what we need, we just run out and get what we want. That's no way to plan a budget or to live in any kind of economy. Remember this, God is your source. Your bank is not your source. Your credit card company is not your source. The government is not your source. Not even your friends are your source. God is your source. I will supply all of your needs. It is pointed, all your needs. And that includes, of course, financial needs. It includes your emotional needs. So many people are lonely today. Loneliness has become one of the major battles that people are fighting. Some of you are lonely today. And even though there are many people around you, you wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody love me? Well, God loves you. And I can tell you this church loves you. And yet so many people are lonely in times like these, isolated. A lot of older adults are facing loneliness. I was talking to Christian counselor and preacher and psychologist Charles Lowry, who's going to be doing a marriage conference this fall for us. But he was saying that that the thing that most older adults are facing that will put you in the grave, if you're an older adult, this will put you in the grave faster than anything: inertia and isolation. Inertia, just sitting and waiting to die, or isolation, sitting alone and waiting to die. But even if you are lonely, you don't have to be alone, because God said, I'm going to supply your need. Ask him. And his own presence, he never leaves us, forsake us. Let me tell you something. Is God real to you? He's real to me. And I sense his presence. I know his presence. And many of you who are aged saints in this room, you've walked with Jesus a long time and you know him quite well, and you know that nothing in your life that you face, no loneliness or alienation or isolation, will separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. He'll provide that need for you. You name the need. You name the need. That's what he's saying. My God shall supply all of your needs. It's pointed. And it is plentiful. This promise is plentiful. According to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm so glad that this verse, this promise, does not say that he will give you out of his riches in Jesus Christ. Suppose you have a financial need, and you've got a friend who's a billionaire with a B. And you say, you know, I'm really having a hard time, and if you could just help me through this hard time, maybe, you know. And he reaches into his pocket and gives you a $20 bill. Now, he's a billionaire, but he gives you $20. Says, God bless you. Well, look, in that case, that man would be giving to you out of his riches, right? Just out of it. But if that man said, look, everything I have, I'll make it available to you, whatever you need. In fact, we used to call them blank checks. Nobody knows what we're talking about anymore now. But maybe a debit card. Here's a debit card. Here's the text. Here's the number. You have access to my bank account. Anything you need that I have is yours. That would be giving according to his riches. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus says, not that I give you, thank God, not just out, not a little here and a little there, but this is plentiful. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. The bank of heaven never fails. God's economy never fails. God himself never fails. He is enough. He is Jireh, our provider. And all of his riches, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, these wonderful promises of God, these are ours. And then it's powerful, this promise, because it is in Jesus Christ. Powerful because he signs his name to this promise. He's the one who says, what I have is yours. Whatever you need, I will provide. And because he is our provider, we never have to live in anxiety or fear, because God is enough. I ask you again, is Jireh enough? Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? In church, it's easier to say amen and yes. But can you say he's enough when you really truly lose almost everything? when you lose a relationship, when you lose your retirement, when you lose your job, when you lose a child. Just this past week, we had a funeral service, a memorial service at the Plano campus for a 14-month-old child, baby, because of an accident, was called home to heaven in the arms of Jesus. I know this family well. And I stood before them, and it was a tough one on Tuesday, because now as a granddad, I looked at the faces and the images of this beautiful little baby and this family, and they had prayed, Jenny and Rob, the parents, and Bob and Cheryl, the grandparents, all Prestonwood people. And I looked at them, and I was wondering, what was I going to say? And just the counsel in the walk-up to the service as we're sitting down and talking about it. And I've been doing this a long time, but sometimes even preachers are speechless. These are imponderables and inconceivables. A 14-month-old child. But then they begin to speak of their trust in God and the faithfulness of God. And it wasn't phony. It wasn't put on. It wasn't say the right thing to the preacher. But I saw the heartfelt trust in God through tears, for sure, through brokenness. But each one of them in their own way said what I am saying to you today, that God is enough. When the dearest and best, the most precious thing in your life is gone. Just like that. That God is enough. I can't tell you how it works all the time, but I know that God is good. I know that God does good. I know that God is always working everything to the good to those who loved him and who are called according to his purpose. I know that God is our provider, that Jesus is our Jireh, that he will supply in Jesus Christ everything you need. Psalm 37, 25, David is looking back on his life. He's reflecting on his life and seeing throughout his days how God had worked in him. And we have it on the screen behind you, Psalm 37, 25. There it is, not on the screen behind you, beside you. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. What a promise. He has blessed us. He's blessed our children. And he's blessed our children's children, the blessings of God. Sometimes when I sign my name, I'll put this reference, Psalm 84, 11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and he gives glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. This is what it means to be in Jesus Christ. Is to receive from God all that he desires to give. Of course, this is a prescription for peace. No wonder Paul could say, I've learned to be content. We read it. He said, I've learned the secret that I can be content in all things, with a little or a lot. I'm glad he says, I have learned this, because I'm still learning it, aren't you? But Paul had come to the place in his life, he was a contented man. In spite of his circumstances. And what we are agreeing upon today in God's word is that no matter our circumstances or conditions in life, we can be content in Christ. We can be satisfied even in brokenness, even in sickness, even in pain. We know that we are satisfied with what God chooses to give. Or what God may choose to allow to be taken away. Job had it all taken away. But he said in Job 1:21, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how to live in contentment. This is how to live in peace. This is how we live every day satisfied. The anthem of the 60s, I was a teenager in the 60s. the number one rock anthem, some say, of all time, delivered by the Stones, the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried and I tried and I tried. You know, those guys, they're still rocking, at least three of them. They're creaking more than they're rocking right now. They sang that song, Time, Time is on My Side. Well, let me tell you something, time is not on their side. And it is not on your side either. But they say it then. They were just young teenagers. They had everything, 20-somethings. They had everything, celebrity, and yet they're singing, I can't get no satisfaction. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried, and I can't get no satisfaction. That's the world. That's the world. That's the anthem of Ecclesiastes. The man said, the wise man said, I've tried it all. I've tried money, I've tried possessions, I've tried sex, I've tried working, I've tried all of it. And vanity of vanity, all is vanity. None of it works until God works in our lives. And so when we live like this, I promise you, there is no prayer that he cannot answer. There is no mountain that he cannot move. There is no person that he cannot save. There is no addict that he cannot deliver. There is no sickness that our God cannot heal. There is no enemy that our God cannot defeat. There is nothing that our God cannot do to meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Amen? And because of that, we live grounded. Three things. We are contented, and therefore we live grounded. We're not blown away when the problems come, when the sickness attacks us, when it happens. We stay grounded because we are now content knowing that God will provide. And then we are also generous because we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. We give away what God has given to us. We give it to our children, and through our children they give back to the world, and so on. And then we give to our church, and we give to the advancement of the gospel, because contented people are generous people. I've seen it every single time. It's the people that are in debt up to their ears because they have a lust for more that can't give because they're just so bound by things and possessions and getting the next thing and doing the next thing. But when you are in Christ and you are content in Christ, you can be generous with others. And then, of course, there is gratitude. We are generous because we know what God has done, he will continue to do. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yes and amen. Would you stand with me, please, everyone standing together? As always, we invite you to know and follow Jesus. The heart of this great church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations and to our neighbors. And if you don't know Jesus, this is the opportunity for now for you to pray and profess your faith in Christ, to ask Jesus to come into your life. And I'm going to encourage you to come forward and openly profess your desire to know and love and follow Jesus. All this promises, all 7,487 of them, whatever they were, if you're not in Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, our Jireh, our Savior, if you don't know God, you're on your own. These promises are for believers. Jesus is your provision. Have you come to him for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the promise and the hope of future with him in heaven? You can do that today. I'm going to ask that you come forward. Maybe you need a church home today. So many of you are new to the region, new to the area, and you're looking for a church home where you are encouraged and equipped and blessed to make a difference in the world, to raise your family, your children, to know and love Jesus. Well, if God is leading you to Prestonwood, make that decision today. The class is great, the new members class, we do encourage that, but you don't have to go to a class to do this. You can come forward today and make that decision to join this church. Maybe you've not been baptized as a believer in Christ, as we saw these beautiful baptisms this morning, and you'd like to make an appointment for your baptism, come forward today, and we'll encourage you and help you and give you the details on that. But you need to make the decision and do it today. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is life and strength and power to us. Thank you for your provision for your people. And Lord, we pray that right now your Holy Spirit would move in every heart and every life, drawing us to you in Jesus' name. Amen.